when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. In the book of Genesis, we're going to chapter 32. We're going to start off here in verse 22, Genesis 32, verse 22. If you want to follow along, I trust you brought your Bible. Do you love the Word of God? Amen? Amen. Amen. I love it because this is what's keeping me alive. How many of us know? Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Talking about the life of Jacob, amen. In verse 22 of Genesis 32, verse 22, and he arose up that night and took his two wives. Now this is Jacob. Let me just give you the quick setting here. Jacob is getting ready to face his brother who? Esau. But I can tell you this right now. He was facing a hard place, Jacob was. He was facing his brother whom he stole his birthright. Him and his mother conspired to deceive their father, whose eyes grew dim. He must be Esau. And you know, they deceived their father. And how many remember he stole the birthright? And that's where he gets his name, trickster, supplanter. He's a deceiver. And what takes place is that all through his life with his father-in-law Laban and all of these things, he leaves and fears for his life because Esau finds out that it's been stolen his birthright. All through Jacob's life, and there's so much to cover, he was actually a pretty smart man. He was very talented. He actually had prosperity and wealth, and God blessed him. But one of the things about Jacob, he did a lot of what he did without God. And you know, you can be blessed, you can be prosperous, you can really actually do a lot of good things and prosper yourself, but not have the blessing of God upon your life. The thing about Jacob is that he went through his life knowing the possibility of one day of running into his brother Esau. Esau was not a man you wanted to mess with. He was a hunter. I could see him, a big old, probably burly man. Now, the Bible doesn't altogether say that, but he was a hunter. He was a man that could go out and he could shoot him a deer. He was one to get the animal, and he butchered up, get it all ready. That's the type of man he was, and Jacob is getting ready now to face. Many years have gone by, and he's got his families, all of his sons, and he comes to the place where he's having to face now his brother Esau. Now, much has gone on, and to really justify this message, I'd have to really fill in all the gaps and spend a lot of introduction time to try to explain the life of Jacob. But I trust that you know enough about his life to allow me to preach to you this morning and bring some thoughts out that's going to help us. He rose up, took his two wives, verse 22, and his two women servant and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had, all of his belongings. And verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and as he wrestled with him. Jacob is wrestling with this man. And many know that this man, many scholars would agree that this is no doubt the pre-incarnate Christ. You see, Christ did show up oftentimes in the Old Testament to reveal himself. And what we must understand is that Jacob was coming face to face with God. Amen. How many believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh? Amen. Now listen to me this morning. It's important for us to understand that Jacob is all alone wrestling. Amen. And there's this wrestling match going on. And verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." That's what Jacob's response was. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob, what did he do? Asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place what? Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Can you go down with me to verse 26? We're going to do a little teaching and preaching through here. Genesis chapter 32, verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Now that is the Lord now speaking to Jacob. "Let me go." So in the midst of this wrestling match, I believe in the beginning of this wrestling match, God began, or Jesus began, dealing with Jacob. He took hold of Jacob. Jacob was facing a great fear of knowing that his brother could literally kill him and wipe out his whole family and everything that he has. I don't know about you, but as a father, as a mother, as a somebody that has a family, could you imagine somebody that had it within their power to know that he took my birthright? This is my brother. That's that deceiver Jacob. He's the one that's been running from me. And how many of us know some people love revenge? They love just getting back at you for something you said, something you did, how you deceived them. I mean, we still got people talking about things that people have said about them from 15, 20, 30 years ago. I'm talking Christians that don't know how to let go of things. Amen. Oh, I remember that one said that. Amen. Can I tell you, it's time to just let it go. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. Put it under the blood. Because, amen, how much has God forgiven some of us of? Blessed is the man that has received forgiveness. Now God desires you to forgive. Can you say amen? You know you can't be forgiven unless you forgive others. I said you can't be forgiven unless you forgive others. One of the biggest things hindering a lot of people is unforgiveness. It doesn't matter what they did to you. You can't change it now. Can you say amen? But you can forgive them. So Esau and his reputation and the way he responded many years ago when Jacob, amen, deceived him, he was very, very angry. But you know, it's amazing what time can do and what God can do in the hearts of some people. But Jacob's fear was that his brother was going to get his revenge on him. And we see that God has brought him to the place where he has taken his family and he has sent him across in verse 24, his two wives, his two women servants, verse 22 actually, 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and then sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left, what? Alone. All alone by himself. But there's a man that shows up. God comes to Jacob, takes hold of him. I imagine he was laying there crying and fearful and upset and coming to the place of utter despair, knowing that he could be wiped off the map. Amen. Knowing that he had a promise that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was going to bless the seed of Abraham like the sands of the sea. How many remember us preaching about Abraham? Amen. And we understand that Jacob had this covenant from God. But how's this going to happen if Esau comes along and wipes us off the map, literally kills us in revenge of me stealing his birthright? So no doubt Jacob was full of torment. He was full of anxiety and stress. His life, amen, was not in his own hands. And can I tell you, that's where many of us get nervous, amen, is when we're not in control, when we can't control the outcome, when we can't control our future. Come on now somebody, I know some people are control freaks and they like to have everything micromanaged and everything's got to be just so. Nothing wrong with being organized, nothing wrong with having some things, amen, under your control, but it brings you a sense of security. But can I tell you, God will bring you to some seasons in your life where you don't have any control over the circumstances, and that's a scary place for some people to be. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, that there comes a time in our life where we've got to put our faith and our trust that he who has started a good work in us shall complete that work if we'll only keep our hand in the hand of God. Now, you can walk out of God's plan and you can suffer. And you can miss out on what God has for you. There's many people that God lets them have their own way and their own will and what they want, but they lose everything that God had planned for their life. Some would debate the free will doctrine and all that, but I'll tell you this right now, brothers and sisters, God don't got a bunch of robots down here, amen. We've got a will, we got a choice to make that, amen, we're gonna either choose God or we're gonna choose our own self-will and fulfilling of our own flesh. One of the hardest things to do, brothers and sisters, is die to your own desires and self-wills and the things that make you feel good and the things that can cater to your flesh. If it was up to us, we would never go through anything. We would never face any hardship. We would never face any adversity. We would never go through any affliction. We would never go through any pain or suffering. Come on now, somebody. But how many of us know God is a God that, yes, he lets us see some good seasons. Amen. God is a God of blessings that make us rich. And God blessed Jacob. He was the covenant seed through Abraham. And the blessing of God was upon him. But God was doing a work in Jacob. Throughout all these years, Jacob was a dependent man upon himself. He was a wheeler and a dealer. He was one that could get things done on his own. He didn't need the blessing of God. He didn't need the favor of God altogether. But I'll tell you, there come a day where he was left all alone, and there was one that came to him, took hold of him, and I could see Jacob crying and moaning and groaning and pleading with God, if you'll just get me out of this one. I don't want to face Esau. I don't want to go through the suffering of seeing my sons and my daughters and my wives and my children and my grandchildren all die at the sword of Esau. Esau was coming with 400 soldiers, and Jacob did not know the condition of Esau's heart. Was he holding on to unforgiveness? I'm going to tell you, some of the most ugliest people are those that let roots of bitterness get deep down in their heart because of something somebody's done to them. I'm talking about that divorce that some of us has gone through. Maybe a bad relationship. Maybe your mother, your father forsook you, and you got anger, you got bitterness, you got hatred. I'm here to tell you, those are some of the most difficult people to pastor and to counsel because they just can't seem to let go know of some things, but I'm here to tell you there's power in forgiveness. And there is power, amen, when we can only put our trust in God, that He truly has the heart of every man in the palm of His hand. Can you say amen? I want you to see this now at the beginning, I believe, of this wrestling match. God took hold of Jacob and began to deal with him and say, oh, you want my help? Only when you want me to get you out of problems. You know, that's those fair weather Christians. Amen. When everything's good, they don't need to go to church. Amen. They don't call you up for prayer, but let them hit some financial trouble. Let them get sick. Let them get diagnosed with something. Then they're calling, can you pray for me? Can you? I'm not mocking them. Thank God they're asking for prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. There comes a time, amen, where we've got to get serious about the things of God. And we've got to understand there are consequences to sowing to the flesh. Come on now, somebody. I'm talking about they that sow to the flesh, they reap what? But they that sow to the Spirit, they have peace. They have joy. They have a clear conscience of knowing that it is well with my soul. Amen. Jacob knew in the back of his mind, I robbed my brother Esau. And he's coming for revenge. Why would he be bringing 400 men? Are you listening? Jacob does all he can to attempt to appease his brother by giving him all the different animals as free will gifts and try to flatter him, try to appease him, you got to be careful of people that flatter you now through gifts. They can corrupt you now. Amen. I'm telling you, flattery worketh what? Worketh ruin. Amen. It'll ruin things. Amen. And I'm telling you, you got to be careful of the people that try to buy your friendship. Amen. I'm just telling you. But what he was trying still, Joel Jacob was still trying to get out of this one in his own way. He was trying to show goodness. I understand. He was trying to weasel out of this and try to somehow appease his brother to not bring judgment upon him. I mean, there's 400 soldiers with Esau, and here I am left all alone. I've split my family up into two groups with all of my cattle, all of my animals, my goats and sheep and my children and the elderly. They're all split up. Maybe if he attacks one group of my family, the other one will get away. This is the mindset of Jacob, trying to fix the problem, trying to get himself out of this one. But the Lord says, not this time, Jacob. I'm bringing you to a place called Peniel. I'm going to meet you in a wrestling match. I'm going to finally bring you to the end of your old self and your old nature. Are you listening to what I'm trying to tell you? There comes a time where we've got to get serious about our relationship with God. And what Jacob has now is the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, comes and meets him, and he's wrestling with him. How many of us know there was a wrestling match down there at old Jabbok, down there at the place called Peniel, and old Jacob was wrestling, I believe, in the beginning of this match, which lasted a good while throughout the night into the dawn of the morning hour. It was Jacob that was praying to God, get me out of this trouble, get me out of this. And then all of a sudden, God took hold of Jacob. Oh, God took hold of him. Can I tell you, it's one thing for you to take hold of God, but it's another thing for the Lord Jesus Christ to lay hold of you. Are you listening to me? And I want to preach for a little while longer and help somebody, amen, to tell you this. This is the title to my message. Amen. Take hold and don't let go. This is what God told me to tell some of you right here. Some of you are facing some situations. We're living in a time where many of us are facing some fears, some doubts, amen, some things of the future. I know we won't want to raise our hand or admit it, but what Jacob was dealing with was the fear of his future. What am I going to face with Esau? Where am I going to be here in the next 48 hours? Am I going to be in the grave and all my children and wives are dead? Or am I going to see God keep his promise and keep his covenant through Abraham and see the blessing of God upon my children? How many of us know that God is not a man that he should lie? If God says it, how many of us know God is more than able, despite what the natural circumstances are telling us, God is still able to bring to pass everything that he has promised his people. Paul said it this way in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Somebody say, lay hold. So many of us holding on to the wrong things. Holding on. And what's it doing to you mentally and spiritually? You know, there's some relationships we just got to let them go. I told you about Abraham when God told him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees a few weeks ago. His great-grandfather. He told him, get out of that country. Get away from your kinfolk. Listen, it's hard to leave some people behind. But if you're going to go where God is taking you, you've got to learn to leave, amen, some family members behind. Boy, you start telling people this, and boy, they think you're dividing families as a pastor. But remember what Jesus said, I come to bring a sword. I come to turn mother against her daughter. I turn the son again. Come on now. You know the word of God. Amen. There comes a time where we've got to say, amen. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going the way of the world. We're not going the way of death and destruction and living in sin. We are going to serve the Lord. If you are, say amen, somebody. I choose God over everything else. Jacob is laying hold of the Lord. Let me just give you some scriptures here. Jacob was facing the great fear of the unknown. Not sure of what was going to happen to him and his family. When he received the word that 400 men were coming with his brother Esau. And I want you to read in verse 6 of Genesis 32. And the messenger returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau. These are the messengers of Jacob. He cometh to meet thee, and 400 men are with him. That's pretty scary right there if you're Jacob. God's bringing him to the end of himself. You ain't getting out of this one, Jacob, unless I get you out of this one. But how many of us know that the Lord always makes a way of escape? Amen. The thing about God is I believe God has the heart of every man, woman, boy, girl, and child on the face of this earth. He can turn hearts and make them hard like he did the Pharaoh. Or he can soften a heart like the Apostle Paul and soften it on down. Or like a Nebuchadnezzar who got prideful and arrogant and puffed up. But God brought him low, amen, after he turned him into a natural brute beast for a little while. And then he finally humbled himself. How many of us know, amen, it's hard to deal with people that are full of anger and they're hard and they're hateful. And some of you had to face people in your lives that are full of hatred, that are full of anger. That's why I try to always encourage people, amen, before they ever go get married, you better check out, amen, the past of that individual. There's a reason why some men have had 2 and 3 and 4 wives. There's a reason why some women have had 3 and 4 and 5 husbands. What is this? Why do people, amen, go through people? Divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage and divorce, because there's a heart issue. There's something going on in the heart of that individual and the heart of that person. And I'm here to tell you, we heard it before and we'll hear it again. The hearts of men are desperately wicked. And there's no good thing that dwells in the hearts of men. I know we don't want to hear that because we think we're good, but there's only one that's good. Can you say amen? Jacob is facing his greatest fear by facing Esau. Verse 7 of Genesis 32, then Jacob was greatly what? The fear of the unknown. Hearing reports of the situation with the economy in the next 6 months, the forecast is not too good in America. They said the dollar could possibly plunge and literally wipe things right out. I don't know what the future's going to hold, but I do know one that holds my future. I said, I do know the one that has my future in the palm of his hand. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that gives me a sense of security. That gives me a sense of hope and trust. Amen. That, amen. Yeah, the stock market can crash, but it's not going to take God by surprise. It's not going to catch God off guard, because we serve a God that still has all power in the heavens and in the earth, and he is still the God that is ruling and reigning from his throne up above. Can you say amen? Amen. I want to encourage somebody that's maybe been dealing with the spirit of unknown and the spirit of fear. The fear of my future. The fear of my health. What I'm going through. The fear of, oh God, are you going to save my family, my children? Are you going to fix things? Are you going to put it back together, God? There's fears within and without that we're all wrestling with. You might as well go ahead and say amen, because I know I'm preaching right here where I need to preach. Amen. And that is, many of us are facing fears. And we don't want to get our hands raised and say, yeah, that's me, and I don't expect that. But what I am trying to tell you is that you don't have to be fearful unto torment. Amen. It's one thing to have fear, amen, with reverencing and knowing God, amen, and knowing his power. But, amen, there is a fear that brings torment. The fear of the unknown, of how I'm going to pay my bills, how I'm going to keep my job. Am I going to have a place to live? Am I going to have a roof over my head? Am I going to have enough money to put gas in the tank, put food? Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, we don't have to fear. Because, see, fear, amen, does not come from God. Can you say amen? Amen. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of peace and power and love and a sound mind. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Amen. One of the things we need to realize is that when we don't love God the way we ought to love God, this was the indictment of the church of Ephesus. Amen. That they did, they left their first love. They were doing the works of the ministry. They were doing everything that the Lord required them to do, but yet they had left their love, their passion for the Lord. Why? Because I'm here to tell you, amen, everything has to be about him. Our life, the way we live, our very breath in our lungs. Amen. How many of us know in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being? My life, your life is all in Jesus. He is the one that brings comfort to my heart when I'm uncertain, when the enemy comes in and wants to destroy and kill and steal. I want you to remember, you've got a God that you serve that has all power. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.